look at me, you know, and it was enough of a time where I had to really take a look at who I was, where I had been, and how what I had become, and I didn't like what I saw. And they started chipping away those pieces that wasn't me. And the most important thing above and beyond that was that they gave me a little bit of time of clean time so that I could start clearing the clutter in my brain and start seeing some reality. And the final thing they said is that if you want to stay clean, you'll do what we do, and that's go to recovery. Go to 12-step meetings. And, you know, I came into these rooms thinking I was all that in a bag of chips. And back then, I thought I was. Today, I still think I am. 53 years old and a bag of chips. You know, I came in here frontless and backless. And what I mean by that is I came in here still living the attitude and the behavior and the lifestyle, you know. And what happened in recovery is that the women in the rooms of recovery cleaned me up. They first started off with my mouth because I had a sailor's mouth. I'm not lying. And they told me, you are not in the gutter, you are not on the streets, and you need to clean up your mouth. And I don't cuss today, you know. They told me, you need to put something on the front of you. You need a little longer skirts than what you got on. You know, I mean, they literally cleaned me up, you know, and it's kind of hard to do that today. You know, women were really bold back then. You know, they were straight up. They said, you know, you need to take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. You ain't got nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You need to listen. You know, they said, just shut up. My kids were really little when I came here, and I had to bring my kids to meetings. You know, and I thank God for the women that bring their children to meetings, you know, because had I not been allowed to bring my children to meetings, I wouldn't be in recovery today, you know. But they also told me to set my kids right next to me, and I learned how to discipline my kids in meetings. I learned how to be a mom in meetings. You know, these ladies literally molded me and taught me. They taught me how to be a mom. They taught me how to be a lady. I had no idea. First of all, because of the lifestyle that I had lived, I didn't feel like a lady, you know, and I didn't act like a lady. And I didn't know how to do that, you know, and they literally molded and taught me, and they gently loved me well. It wasn't too long after I came into the rooms that we, in Columbus, we have clubs in Columbus, and there was only one club at that time. And, you know, they would have meetings in the morning, they'd have meetings at night, and then in between time, people could play cards, they could shoot pool, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I was playing cards one night and with a bunch of guys, you know, because I didn't like girls back then. And these guys said, see that woman over there in the corner? She'd be a good sponsor for you. And I had no clue what a sponsor was. But every meeting I went to, everybody would say, you got a sponsor yet? You got a sponsor yet? And so I asked this lady, because I trusted these guys I was playing euchre with, and I asked this lady to be my sponsor. I didn't know nothing about her. All I knew is that these guys thought she was cool, and if she was cool to them, she would be all right with me, and it would get them off my back. And that lady was my sponsor for over 20 years. And I tell you the truth, she was a blessing. You know, she taught me how to live recovery. You know, she taught me how to stand still and hurt, because I was a runner. and I was an emotional runner. I was a physical runner. And, you know, she taught me how to walk the 12 steps. She taught me what powerlessness and unmanageability was, and the difference between the two, because there are definite differences, you know. She taught me to trust and believe in her God until I could find a God in of my own, you know. She taught me how to clean house. She taught me how to do service, you know. She taught me how to grow up. She taught me how to respect myself. She taught me how to set boundaries and limits, because I know how to set boundaries. I know how to say no. You know, I was so busy trying to get everyone to like me and to meet everybody else's needs that I wasn't able to see the needs that I needed of myself, you know, and would always put myself at harm's way, whether that be a relationship, whether that be with my family, whatever that was. She taught me how to love me. Recovery has been my life, most of my life, as you well know. At 20 years clean, I got married. And I married somebody that was in recovery. And prior to that, let me go back and just tell you that prior to that, I had gotten married after I had been 6 years clean, and I was married for like 15, 16 years. And he was also in recovery, and to the best of my knowledge, was still in recovery, but we didn't have very much in common. And I so badly wanted to be able to do a relationship right and to be successful. And I stayed in that marriage for a very long time because I didn't want to fail. And anyhow, when that marriage was over about a year or two later, anyhow, I was 20 years clean, somewhere around there, and I got married. And 6 months after I got married to somebody in the rooms, they started using. And I thought at 20 years clean that I was safe. I thought at 20 years clean that if I just held on, that he would come back in the rooms. I thought at 20 years clean that, you know, if I just held on and I just kept going to meetings, that he would make it back. And he never made it back. At 22 and a half years and much pain, I picked up. And by the grace of God, I just picked up and came straight back. And I'll tell you, I don't know, maybe 23 years is safe, but I'm telling you, 22 and a half is not safe. You know, I don't know any amount of time that's safe. What started happening is that I stopped coming into these rooms and sharing with you people what was going on with me. I stopped sharing how I was feeling. I didn't stop coming to meetings. I never stopped coming to meetings. I never stopped sponsoring. I never stopped working the steps. But what I started was small lapses, as Recovering Relapse talks about. You know, first the small emotional lapses. And I was afraid to share in these rooms because I was afraid that if I'd share something that he would never come back. And the truth is he never got back here anyhow. I was so busy worried about trying to save him and trying to protect his image and trying to protect my image that I stopped talking and I stopped sharing. And little by little, I started having minor depressions. and I come in these rooms and I put a smile on my face and say everything was okay, when in reality everything wasn't okay. You know, it wasn't okay. Every night I would come home and wonder what else is going to be missing in my home. Wonder if my husband was going to be alive or dead. I would wake up at 2:45 every night, like clockwork, you know, for fear of who's going to be in my home when my husband comes home. And I wasn't talking about it. I started forgetting to save me, and ended up picking up. It was the most painful experience I think I've ever went through. And I knew that if I didn't walk back in here and get a white key tag, I may never walk back in again. Because you see, I've been here for a long time. And I know I've been to a lot of funerals. And if you've been here for any amount of time, you'll be to funerals too. And I knew that if I didn't come back in, I may never get back in. And by the grace of God and you people, I have another 9+ years. And what I did is I came back and I humbled myself. I came back and I shut up and I listened. I took the cotton out of my ears and I put it in my mouth. And I started doing the basics. And anybody that knows me here knows I do a lot of meetings, even to this day. I'm very active in recovery. I do a lot of service work. I go to meetings. I have a very strong spiritual connection. I believe, you know, I believe that the only thing between me and a drug is a God of my understanding. And if I don't have a God between me and that drug, the only thing between me and that drug is me. And me on my own power will take me back time and time again. I believe that we only have a daily reprieve. And I'll tell you what, you lose 22 and a half years in a matter of one drink, and that's what I took. You will realize that it's just a daily reprieve, that all we have is today. That's all we have. I work very hard at my recovery. I believe recovery is the greatest blessing that God has ever given me. I've gotten many rewards. One is that I have literally been able to make a whole lifestyle change. And the basic text in the six steps says we must make a complete personality change. That means I got to change my attitudes, my ideals, my thinking, and my behavior. And the chances of recovery without it is slim. And that's about working the steps. The only way I know to transform and change who I was and what I was is to find out who I am and what I am and what do I need to do to change that. I have never been without a sponsor in these rooms, and I can't even imagine being without a sponsor. I can't even imagine it, you know. The rewards of this program has given me is so many. Just to give you a few, by the grace of God, I got my children back. By the grace of God, did I not only get my children back, but I learned how to be a mom. And the truth is, I'm a good mom. I'm a very good mom. You know, because of this fellowship, I have been able to not only be a mom, but be a grandmother four times over. My oldest grandson is just now learning to drive. That's pretty scary to me. Before I came here, the only thing that I'd ever done has been either work for an escort service, things that I'm not going to talk to you about, because if you know where I've been, you've been where I've been, so you don't even have to ask me. Or I've been a waitress or a cocktail waitress. That's all I could do. And because of this fellowship and making changes in my life, I was able to go back to school, get a degree. I got lots of certifications. I have a great job. One of the greatest blessings that Narcotics Anonymous has given me is a relationship with my parents. I was a terrible daughter. I was nothing that my parents deserved. And I caused them much pain. And as a result of the 12 steps and Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to make amends to my parents. Furthermore, I was able to become the daughter that they deserved. Furthermore, I was able to be there all the way through to the very end for both of my parents. And I'm gonna tell you, it was an incredible reward. My mother had cancer, and I was able to be there 24/7 and change her and love her. It was the greatest gift that God's given me. I've learned how to be a mom. I've learned how to be socially acceptable. Now, that may not sound like much, but God has given so much to me. I can't imagine life without Narcotics Anonymous. I can't imagine life today without a God in my life. And I look back and I think, how did I do it in active addiction? And it's because he was carrying me. The only thing that I know is that this fellowship promises that an addict, any addict just like me, any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Truly find a new way to live that is beyond your wildest dreams. Does that mean we're not going to go through pain? No, I'm going to tell you, I've lost more in Narcotics Anonymous than I ever had in active addiction. I have felt more pain and walked through more things in recovery than I ever did in active addiction. But I wouldn't change my life today for anybody or anything. You know, for a long time, it took me a long, long time to be comfortable in my own skin, to be comfortable with me all by myself, you know, to be able to be alone. I didn't know how to be alone. I didn't know how to sit still. I didn't know how to just love me. And I learned that in these rooms, you know, and through the transformation through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I believe that all of us are a gift. I believe that we're all a miracle just to be sitting here today. You know, I'm just real glad to be here. And you know, they told me when I first came here, you know, just try it for 90 days. And if you don't like it, we'll give you back all your misery. And I said, well, I could do it for 90 days. And I've been here for a few 24 hours. And I wouldn't be any place else. I owe my life to recovery. Thanks for listening.